But it's going to be one of those things where this is going to be the elephant in the room. The biggest question, that's the three centers. Like, that's the Sixers' three centers. Like, the three-headed monster, how is it going to work?
Hello to you almighty ballin' listeners out there. Today my guest is Keith Pompey, a writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philadelphia Daily News, and Philly.com. Keith, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey man, thanks for having me.
So Keith, like I mentioned before, today our topic is going to be the state of the Philadelphia big man position, specifically the state of the big man address. And I think especially with all the hype around this guy, the only reasonable place to start is Philadelphia's new Shaquille O'Neal, Joel Embiid. Do you feel the hype as much as everyone else in the NBA seems to?
Well, yeah. It's funny. There was a lot of media members at today's practice because of him. And, you know, it's weird. Normally it's like 5 to 6 of us. It might have been like 12 to 15 different, you know, news outlets there today. And that doesn't include, like, some of them doubling up. So it was crazy over there today at the practice facility.
Well, honestly, it makes a lot of sense that everyone's showing up to cover Joel because, let's be honest, it's not every day that you get the opportunity to cover a guy who might end up being the next great big man. Actually, the next great big man. He is a big man, like a literally big man.
Yeah, he's huge, man. I mean, not like you said, he's a big man. It's funny, I had a student shadowing me from Pittsburgh, but he actually came here and spent 2 days with me at the practice facility. And MB walks over to us and he says, "Oh my gosh, he's huge. He's huge," right? So, you know, I didn't really think anything of it. I just chuckled a little bit. And then today I meet the guy's mom, and she says, "Yeah, my son said, oh my gosh, he's huge. He's huge." And it's so true. I mean, this guy is big. He's like 6'2". He's 276 pounds. He's chiseled. He's solid as a rock. I mean, you know, it's weird. Like you. And the funny thing is the Sixers have, you know, we're talking about Joel Embiid, but they have Jahlil Okafor, who's 6'11", 265 pounds. And he looks tiny compared to this guy. It's just crazy when you look at the size of him. Well, you know, the thing is, I think a lot of people feel the same way you do. But the thing is, when you talk to, like, players, guys who actually played in the league, and you also talk to coaches, you know, they all say to me is, you know, how is he going to deal with the double team? And before you can make that, because the thing is, let's face it, right now with Ben Simmons being hurt, with Jared Bayless being hurt, you know, and a couple, like, other guys on the roster who are fringe players, there's really, like, teams it's going to be easy just to double him and force other people to beat him. So the key for him is, before we, you know, talk about the Hall of Fame and everything, it's like, how does he deal with when people start bringing bodies at him? You know what I mean? Can he make the right move? Is he strong enough and quick enough and agile enough to split the double teams? And to be honest, the Sixers, and it makes a lot of sense now that we're talking about this. Yesterday they had a drill where Embiid will get the pass, get the ball at like the half court line, and he's dribbling for a layup. And it's like a lot of people, you know, and he has to, it's basically like a maze, so to speak, like where they're trying to prevent him from scoring. And he did that drill probably like 4 times yesterday. Two ended with layups, 2 of them were dunks. And like, you know, again, it's like, how do you deal with people swiping at the ball while you're in transition? So it makes a lot of sense. But, you know, we have to see what he can do in the regular season against, the regular season against the double teams before we can just anoint him into the Hall of Fame. I think he's going to be a great player, but I would like to see what he can do, you know, before I put all that pressure on him.
That makes a lot of sense. And I definitely understand that. I think that in the past, you know, the reason why systems like the triangle have been so, so good is because they've focused on having this one guy in the post and this one guy on the outside, and then just moving the ball around fast enough so that defenders basically can't pay too much attention to one guy versus another guy, and, you know, so that there isn't that type of attention where he has to deal with double teams because, you know, if you're double teaming Joel Embiid, it means that someone else is open. It is interesting to see how much the Philadelphia 76ers are going to suffer until the point comes that they can put three quality players out there and then a 1-2 punch like Kobe and Shaq was, you know, or like Dwayne Wade and Shaq, or, you know, like Kareem and, Magic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be really important that, you know, whether they get it in the draft this next year or whether Ben Simmons can be that guy, it'll be really important that they can have that other guy on the outside who can beat anyone one-on-one. And it'll be important that you can't just double team him because, yeah, it's funny, you were describing that drill with like a maze of hands sticking out and poking at him. I feel like that's what his season is going to be next year. I think you're right.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because it seems like he got a little bit better on it, but I remember the first preseason game, it was funny. He even laughed at it. He's like, come on now. Like, they were playing the Boston Celtics, and they had Al Horford. And, actually, the other guy's name escapes me at this moment. If we weren't talking about him, it would pop up. But what they did is, like, in the second quarter, they just start, like, double-teaming him. Like, you know, trapping him and all this other stuff. And he's like, hold up, man. You know, this is, like, the second quarter of a preseason game. You know what I mean? Can't you let me play? Like, you know, it was hilarious. But, you know, But that's just the type of things that he's going to see. And to be honest with you, it wouldn't be a shocker to me if Boston was like, okay, we're trying to see how we're going to defend this guy in regular season. You know what I mean? Let's see what we can do to get him a little flustered a little bit. And then it's funny also, you know, it's weird because, and you know, not to go keep running and talking about him, but, you know, we go to Memphis. And Zach Randolph comes in. And then next thing you know, Zach Randolph starts, like, getting really physical with him. And then Embiid gets physical back with him. And then next thing you know, Randolph is tugging on the foul line, like, welcome to the NBA, young fella. You know, it's like, you know, people are trying to test him to see what he'll do. And then the third example was against Detroit. I mean, they tried to rough him up, and then next thing you know, he's, like, dunking on players, getting and-ones and everything. So, you know, people have been trying.
Yeah, and I introduced you as a writer for the Philly Inquirer and Daily News. You're also the host of Locked On 76ers, or I think it's just Locked On Sixers, and you've talked about that some, and I particularly enjoy it where you were talking about the preseason game the 76ers had against the Grizzlies, where Embiid had to deal with Marc Gasol right off the bat, and then off the bench comes Zach Randolph, and it's like, what better team to prove your mettle against than the Grizzlies, because you're fielding two guys who have been there and done that in terms of being dominant in the post. And I feel like that is an interesting thing to watch for next year, because, I mean, didn't we see that some with Jahlil Okafor last year too, and Jahlil Okafor, I don't think is, however great he is, he's still not the presence Joel Embiid is.
No, he's not. He's not the presence, and a lot of it. But the one thing I will say, if you're talking about post moves, getting to the basket, scoring a bucket, you know, Okafor is smooth. The only thing is he just doesn't have the all-around game that Embiid has. You know, he doesn't bring it on a defensive end like Embiid or Nerlens Noel would. But as far as, like, getting the bucket, I mean, that's the guy that you want out there for. But, yeah, Embiid is the cream of the crop, so to speak, you know, of the three.
You know, it's interesting. The way that I always thought about this Philly team, projecting them into the future, I thought they were going to have to make a decision. Are we going to have a great defender and go with Noel? Are we going to have a great scorer and go with Jahlil? Or are we going to have, you know, a compromise of the two and go with Embiid? But, I mean, if things work out how the 76ers want, I mean, Joel Embiid very well might be the best offensive player and defensive player of the two of them. And that's saying something because, I mean, honestly, I'm higher than I think most people outside of Philly are on each of these three big men individually. I think that, you know, if Jahlil stays on the 76ers and comes off the bench, it'll be because the 76ers and Joel Embiid particularly are really, really good. I think that he could be a starter on a different NBA team a few years down the line. I think actually his rookie season was really impressive. And you mentioned that his defense wasn't very good, but he just had to single-handedly carry the Philadelphia 76ers offense. They didn't really have any other go-to options. And I think that his defense suffered because of that.
Well, because of his offense?
Well, yeah. The 76ers... I'm sorry?
I don't think so. I mean, I just think that, you know, he was a guy, I mean, and it's not a knock against him. I just think that he's a guy who's been so dominant, so big, and so young, and, like, you know what I mean, at a time to whereas, you know, defense was really never something that he worked on. Like, you know, he's 6'11", and you go and you play in high school, rarely do you go up against another 6'11 guy. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, it's easy for you to block someone's shot, easy for you to do this and do that. But he was so dominant with the ball to whereas, you know, he just became a scorer. I mean, let's say there are certain people in the league who we all know it's like, you know, they're just not defensive-minded people. You know, they're like James Harden is one. He's a scorer. He's a Mr. Excitement. But he just doesn't bring it on a defensive end. And I'm not putting a knock on Okafor. It's just that at this particular time and stage of his career, you know, he just hasn't worked on his defense just as much as he has his offense. And then, and unfortunately, you know, I mean, not for him, but, you know, there were stretches where, you know, he came in and he scored. But whenever they wanted to make, like, a key defensive stop, they would bring Nerlens Noel in. You know what I mean? Because he was the anchor of the defense. And, you know, you can still make a case as good as, this is crazy, as good as Embiid is, Nerlens Noel, in my opinion, is the best defender. As good as Embiid is, Jahlil Okafor, in my opinion, is the best scorer of the three. You know what I mean?
But
the difference between Embiid is he's the more complete player. You know what I mean? He's the most complete player. So,
No, and I'm inclined to agree with you. I think what I meant with Jahlil not doing well on defense, I think we actually, what we think intersects a little bit. I think that he was a rookie last year, so the pro conditioning just wasn't there, and he just wore himself out on offense because he wasn't used to going up against guys who were going to make him struggle and post up and have to really, like, pull out all of his moves just to get the ball in the basket. And he would just get too exhausted to go back and pay that same amount of attention on defense. So I think that, you know, yeah, Jahlil Okafor, when given the choice to focus on his offense and his defense, because I think he was forced into that choice because of his conditioning and being a rookie, he made the choice to focus on his offense because that's what he's always been best at. I guess the point I was making when I said that is that I think that in the future and down the line, he won't have such an offensive burden on him and he'll be more developed as a player and as an athlete that he'll I mean, he'll never be as good on defense as he is on offense, but I mean, his numbers just look deplorable on defense. And I mean, especially in fourth quarters, he was just really, really bad. And I think that that is something that people are unfairly expecting him to continue to be throughout his whole career.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, so, and then as far as, you know, each of these players, or rather Noel being a defensive dynamo, Jahlil being an offensively great player, and Embiid being a complete player, I really like Jahlil, but Noel, I think, is going to be, and again, each of these players have injury concerns, but if Noel can stay on the court, and it seems like it probably won't be in a Philly uniform, but I fully expect him to be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, you know, multiple years in his career. Like, I think that the league has forgotten a little too early that he almost averaged 2 blocks and 2 steals in his first year in the NBA playing full minutes.
Yeah, I think he'll be a good player. I think, you know, and I think Noel will be a great player. He does a lot of things. I mean, if you talk to the Sixers, you know, they say he's a modern-day five man. You know, he's the type of guy who, you know, he's 6'11", too, but he can play small ball just because of he can keep up and he can run the floor. So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of things is you don't have to worry about him. And to be honest, you know, he is the most athletic of the three. You know, you really don't want him playing power forward just because of his presence at the rim. But if you're saying, okay, I'm going to stick the best one out there to do that, that would be him, and it wouldn't even be close, you know, defensively. You know, he's a good player. It's just that, you know, Noel is the opposite of Okafor. And what I mean is, like, Noel played on AAU teams and high school teams that had solid shooters. And his job always was to just grab rebounds, block shots, and run the floor. We're going to get you alley-oop dunks. So he never really worked on shooting until he got into the pros. So,
well, and I feel like part of the narrative behind each of these guys, and you know, maybe this might ultimately be true, is that I think that when you have players who aren't complete, I think NBA fans sometimes expect and say, okay, this is what they're going to be for the rest of their career. I think that, you know, Jahlil wasn't a good defender, but ultimately I think that Jahlil, you know, I think he clearly cares a lot about winning. I think that, you know, in college he proved that he was a winner and wants to compete at the highest level, and he'll have to develop a defensive mindset if that's what he's going to do. So I expect that to happen. And then with Noel, I think that being on the 76ers, because of the lack of spacing, it's made him seem a lot less effective as an offensive player. But I mean, I feel like Noel, if he was on, you know, if instead of Dwight Howard, he was on the Hawks, I feel like he would be just as good of a rim roller as Dwight Howard would be offensively. And he could, you know, potentially start to be a DeAndre Jordan type offensive center. And, you know, really, that's what you want, I think, in the modern NBA, as you were saying.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's, just, I mean, Brett Brown touched upon it. You know, the thing is, you know, I think that Brett Brown wants him to be more of that way. But I think, you know, and to his credit, you know, Noel is eager and he wants more. You know what I mean? He wants to become a scorer. He wants to do this and that. But, you know, Brett Brown and the Sixers feel like as if that, you know, his bread and butter is basically being a DeAndre Jordan type of player, you know. But Noel wants more than that. And you know, I'm not going to, you know, fault him for that, because I'd rather see a guy want to work on his game as opposed to saying, hey, I'm good with it. I'm good with just blocking shots.
Yeah, well, and that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to see, because I think that that's a misnomer among modern big men, among modern centers, that you have to develop a post game and have a jump shot. But, you know, DeAndre Jordan, you can call him limited. You can also call him first team All NBA center. So I think he's, you know, he's got a limited offensive game, but pretty much all you have to do is be really, really good at rolling to the rim, and you're the perfect offensive center. So the game has changed a little bit, and we'll see if Noel is, able to change his mindset in that regard. What do you think about Noel in terms of the Philadelphia 76ers? Because, you know, I think a lot of people were skeptical when he had that self-reported groin injury. And, you know, is he really out because he's injured, or is he out because he just doesn't want to be with the 76ers? Now we find out that he has this knee problem, and, you know, the whispers of his discontent are put aside for now while we focus on how great Joel Embiid looks. But I think that still is something like a tumor in the background, where this team has said, and everyone knows, that, you know, this logjam, these three great centers, are not going to be able to get the minutes that they need on this team. Am I right in assuming that Noel is probably the guy to leave?
Yeah, I think he may be, just because also his contract is up before the other two. They're not going to extend his deal. So that, you know, makes you think that, you know, he's going to go. Like, I think that, in my opinion, you know, he's probably insurance policy right now. Like, as long as Embiid stays healthy, he goes.
Yeah.
If Embiid has a setback, then maybe they'll try to, like, you know, make him give him a qualifying offer at the end of the season. But, so I would assume now, I think that he's going to be a pretty good player down the road. And I think that they would love to keep him, but it's just that one of those situations that, you know, right now, you know, his stock, you can argue that his stock is higher than Okafor's, just because of, like, we talked about him being a modern-day five man.
Yeah.
You know, and he can do a lot of things. He doesn't have to score the ball to be effective. So with that being said, yeah, you're right. And also something else is, you know, I do think that he said what he said, and about, you know, he said that he, you know, he basically questioned why all three of them are here.
Yeah.
You know, when everyone knew that they were going to, that they were trying to shop these guys this summer. The thing is, though, like, we want people to be honest about that. And then when he is, then a lot of people, some people criticize him for that. Now, secondly, it's like the thing about the groin, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, he just doesn't want to play. But then we later find out that his knee was bothering him too.
Right.
You know, and he had surgery on that yesterday. So I think he really is hurt, but I do also think that, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, he's been playing with this pain for a while, and he wants to get it corrected because it's becoming, like, unbearable to him. And it's one of the things is when he does play, you know, you got to be real. Like, and I haven't spoken to him about this, but, you know, when he does play, he knows he's auditioning for the next team.
Right.
So he has to get himself together, and let's face it, with him not playing, it kind of relieves a little bit of a stressful situation right now, because you have Nerlens, who was going to be in Alabama rehabbing. You have Jahlil Okafor playing like 8 to 12 minutes, and then you have Embiid playing his 20 to 24 minutes. So there's really, like, nobody, no one arguing. But I think if he was here, it would be a little bit like people saying, okay, now how are we going to play all three of them? You know what I mean? So in a way, this is a good surgery for him to have, and it's also a good thing for the Sixers, to whereas they don't have to worry about the logjam.
Well, and, you know, it actually, I think it bleeds over into the power forward position too, because if you did have Noel and you wanted him to have enough minutes that he can audition for his next team, which is good for him because he looks good, but good for the 76ers because they want to return on a talented guy. So maybe you would end up playing him next to Embiid, and then you would have Jahlil Noel lineups, and, you know, they won 10 games last year with that, and they probably don't want to do that again this year. And if you have more minutes at the four, it means that you don't have Dario playing those minutes. You know, Ben Simmons is another one of those guys who, like Noel, he's out right now, and that alleviates a little bit of the tension. But, I mean, I'm a huge believer in – it sucks that Robert Covington has played the four so far in Philly because he's had to, because Robert Covington is a four.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. I mean, yeah, that's what he was in college. But the thing is, he's like a stretch four, if you would, you know, if you would say that. I mean, but the thing, he's shown some quickness that he can guard threes. I mean, when he first came here, all he was known was for a guy who can shoot, a 6'9" guy who can shoot.
Yeah.
But now he's like, last year he was arguably their most improved defender. And he's right now it's weird. Like, he's showing that he can put it on he can dribble the ball and get to the rim as opposed to just being a spot up shooter. So, you know, Robert Covington, you know, I think he's a guy who could have a huge year. He struggled. He was really inconsistent in the preseason. But he could have a huge year because he's going to get open shots once teams start to really focus on Embiid and start double-teaming him. So I think that Covington is a guy who is going to get a lot of open looks, and it's just a matter of him, you know, nailing it. But, yeah, he is extremely athletic to be a power forward.
Well, so, yeah. Okay, so you know how last year Miami, when Luol Deng was playing the three, he was having a down year pretty much, and then once Chris Bosh unfortunately had to sit, Luol Deng went to the four and he started averaging 20 points a game and like 6 rebounds instead of, you know, like 12 and 4, right? Like, Luol Deng broke out because he wasn't playing at the three anymore, he was playing at the four.
Yeah.
I think that's what is eventually going to happen with Robert Covington, where you're right, by being forced to play out of position a little bit and maybe go outside of his comfort zone, he has developed some skills that are typically wing skills, but that just makes him even more valuable as a four, right? I think he's a suitable three, and that's why you can play him at the three, but I think he could be a really, really good four, and unfortunately, they just don't have those minutes available for him.
Yeah, he's a really good four in the right situation. I don't think that he has the strength, though, right at this particular time to bang. You know what I mean? But as far as, like, if you're going small ball, you know,
right?
Yeah, he's a great free, and he's great for that position. But if you're trying to, have a traditional lineup, I don't think he just has the girth down to go down low and bang with the trees, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, I think that also probably, if you're playing a team like Memphis and they've got Zach Randolph and Gasol, then, yeah, probably you want a bigger guy playing that four. But, you know, say you were playing Miami and Luol Deng, well, wait, Luol Deng's in L.A. There are other teams. I think Robert Covington could play Dirk Nowitzki pretty well, I think, if that's, you know, something that people can do. On a similar note, I think Dario Saric is going to be in a similar position with this team down the line, where he makes sense as a four, probably. But if Ben Simmons is there, Ben Simmons is nominally going to be the four. However, I think that him, Dario and Simmons as a long-term 3-4, I think that the way that their different skill sets interact with one another, it'll work out as long as Dario has a, you know, above average jump shot. I feel like that's pretty much what he needs. What do you think?
You'll pick Dario at the three?
Well, I feel like this team down the line is thinking about having Ben Simmons, Dario, and Joel Embiid. I just mean, you know, with Ben Simmons, positions become a little bit weird. So, I mean, as the two forwards, if you're playing Dario and Ben Simmons, the other forward, so Dario, just needs to have a really good jump shot if that's going to work.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Dario looked good shooting the ball early on. I think when we see Ben Simmons and Dario on the floor together, I think we're going to see Ben Simmons playing a lot of point guard in those scenarios. You know, just because of the problem with, like, you know, Ben has better foot speed, But I don't see either one of them. Well, maybe Ben a little bit, but I don't see Dario Gardner 3. You know what I mean? I don't think that he has, he's not quick enough laterally to guard a 3. And then when I look at him, the one thing that Dario does well is, like, he plays hard, he grabs, then he goes to the boards. You know, he was struggling earlier to get a rebound, an offensive one. It took him several games, a couple games. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I just don't see him out there playing threes. You know, and I think with the Sixers, as good as he is, the Sixers are looking at him as a backup, like as a sixth man, so to speak. You know, because, you know, Ben Simmons, you're going to want to play him a lot. And then when you have an actual point guard in there, like a Jared Bayless, you want to give him the minutes. So that, you know, that will lead to Dario coming off the bench.
Okay, so you think that Dario, in the 76ers' mind, or at least in your mind, isn't a long-term starter for the 76ers?
Nah, I mean, it all depends on how quickly Ben Simmons can move to the point guard spot. See, and the problem with that is, you know, in my opinion, you are who you can guard. So if you can't guard point guard, I'm not going to say you're a point guard. You can be a point forward. You know, a guy who grabs a defensive rebound and puts pace. But, you know, I just think that, you know, Dario, he's an improved shooter. But right now, you want a lot of your wings to be knockdown three-point shooters for the most part. You know what I mean? He's not a knockdown three-point shooter. And he doesn't have the lateral movement to guard a lot of these guys. So with that being said, he's a power forward. He's a forward man who can shoot the ball. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that that's just, in my opinion, what he is. He's a forward man who can shoot the ball.
I guess that makes some sense. I think that in the Olympics, he demonstrated a lot of defensive versatility. And I'm thinking to myself, and you're around the team a lot more, you would be able to tell me, you know, whether in practice this makes any sense. I look at Dario, and I tend to think that when it comes to most of the elite small forwards in the game, guys like LeBron or Kevin Durant, of course he couldn't play them defensively. Like, you need to be really, really good at defense to cover guys like that. But just that general skill set, you know, he had that chase down block on Pau Gasol in the Olympics, and I think that, you know, his extra bit of bulk might actually make him a little bit better at covering threes. He isn't super quick on his feet, but I guess you're saying that he just is, you know, not quite that bit explosive and doesn't quite have that lateral movement defensively to cover threes.
I just don't think that he has the lateral movement to cover threes. And a lot of things is, see, the Olympics is hard to gauge on.
Right.
Gauge because, you know, a lot of these guys, like, some of them may have played in the NBA and they're no longer playing there, like guys from foreign countries. You know, it's like, and the reason why they're not playing, and then they go to the Olympics. They go to the Olympics and they look like superstars.
Yeah.
And it, you know what I mean? Because it's just, the Olympics, don't get me wrong, the Olympics is great. And but at the same time, the overall, like, is a different game. It's more like, you know, more, the Olympics is different than the NBA because the game isn't as fast, in my opinion. You know?
Right.
It's, you know, like, here is the best athletes in the world. There is, like, a lot of system coaching, this and that. And not saying that we don't have coaches over here, but I know, like, over here, coaches are like, you know, they have better players, so they can give them more freedom. Whereas over there, it's like, you know, they're running plays all the time. You know, everything is being structured and going according to plan, whereas here you can improvise. And, I mean, you look at it like with Sergio Rodriguez. You know, he's the point guard for the Sixers right now. You know, he looked phenomenal in the Olympics. But then, you know, but he wasn't going up against Russell Westbrook. You know what I mean?
He hasn't looked completely stellar so far, but we'll see what happens. So, last question, and then I'll let you go. So, if Dario isn't the solution at three, and, you know, Noel is on the block, do you think that as far as rounding this roster out for the future and trying to put together something that might contend down the road, do you think that the 76ers team is going to be bad enough to get one of these elite point guards in this upcoming draft?
Yep, I do. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I guess it makes sense that you would move Noel for a three, right?
I mean, if you can. I mean, you got to make sure it's the right three. I mean, because, I mean, that's part of the problem. Like, they know that Noel and Okafor are going to improve. They know that they're going to get better, you know? So if they get rid of one, you bet that they're trying to make sure that they get something that's going to be special in return, you know? Not someone who can help you for 2 years. They're talking about someone who's going to be, you know, a stellar player down the road. So that's the problem. But yeah, it does make sense to move one of them for a two or a three. You know, and that's what you need to do. You got to go after a two or a three.
Okay, so, and I promise this time it'll be the last thing. All right, if you had your Sam Hinkie trading hat on, would you be willing to part with Nerlens Noel for, we'll say, Terry Rozier and James Young?
Nope. Because here's the problem with that. Like, you know, right now, you know, Ben Simmons isn't playing, so a lot of people want to hit the panic button, you know. But we all know that Ben Simmons is going to be the primary ball handler. So if Ben Simmons is the primary ball handler, he and Terry Rozier may not be able to coexist, so to speak, you know.
Okay.
And then James Young, I'm just not, you know, right now I need to see more of James Young in the game. You know, it's like he's one of these guys who he was drafted and, you know, injuries and other stuff, he just hasn't played, you know what I mean? And the Celtics, they haven't given up on him, but, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, he may be out of the league in a little while.
Yeah, I said the wrong name because of the Celtics, but Jaylen Brown. So Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown. But, I mean, by that logic, still probably no.
Well, I mean, Jaylen Brown, I'm intrigued by him, and he's a guy who the Sixers really like. I mean, you know, I think they really wanted to get Chris Dunn, who ended up in Minnesota on draft night. But Jaylen Brown, yeah, he intrigues me. He intrigues me. But then the thing with Terry Rozier is like, you know, what do you do with him? But I can see them making a trade and then trying to trade Terry Rozier to another team, you know what I mean, if it was that.
Well, I think that, you know, the long-term answer at point guard for Philly is going to be answered in the draft next year. So Terry Rozier would be sort of maybe a short-term fix or something like that. But, you know, I mean, man, I'm going to have you back on. The 76ers are maybe the funnest team to hypothesize about. And, you know, there's not many guys out there who know much more. In fact, I would say, okay, there's you and Derek Bodner. I think that no one covers the Philadelphia 76ers better than Derek. Like I said, and my guest today, Keith Pompey. Thanks for coming on, man, and talking 76ers big men with me. And I'll have you put back your Sam Hinkie hat for some future trades in a podcast down the line.
All right, thank you, man. Thanks for putting me in the class with Derek Bodner. Also want to drive. I want to be in the same car class, too. My man has a Porsche. I want the keys, baby. I want the keys.
All right, we'll see if we can figure something out. Maybe this podcast will get a couple million listeners and I'll make enough money off of it that I can figure that out for you. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. All right, buddy. Have a nice one.
All right, perfect. Hey, thanks a lot. Talk to you later.